This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Yesterday on this very show, we talked about why Kyrie is not with the Nets, reportedly wants to be a voice for the voiceless, but we hadn't heard Kyrie's voice until now on IG Live. It's First Take. Let's go. Screwed up as always, Jay Williams in the house, Kendrick Perkins, Stephen A. Smith, I'm Molly Karam Rose, Jen Orlovsky will be here in just a bit for the entirety of the show. All right, guys, let's start with the latest in the Nets-Kyrie saga. Kyrie speaking for the first time on this vaccine mandate on IG Live last night. Here's a portion of it.
Stop running away from using my voice and using my platform to, speak on what's true and what's mine. You know, nobody's going to hijack my voice. Nobody's going to take the power away from me that I have for speaking on these things, you know. And don't believe that I'm retiring. Don't believe that I'm going to give up this game for a vaccine mandate or staying unvaccinated. Don't believe any of that, man. Like really be aware of what's being said before I even get a chance to be on the podium and speak for myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, all these people saying all these things about what's going on with me, and it's just not true. Pay attention to what's going on out in the real world. You know, people are losing their jobs to these mandates. People are having to make choices with their own lives, which I respect. You know, and I don't want to sit here and play on people's emotions either. Just use logic. You know, what would you do? You know, if you felt uncomfortable going into the season when you were promised that you would have exemptions or that you didn't have to be forced to get the vaccine. You know, this wasn't an issue before the season started. This wasn't something that I foresaw coming, where I prepared for it. And, I had a chance to strategize on what was going to be best for me and my family. I came into the season thinking that I was just going to be able to play ball, you know, be able to use my talent to continue to, inspire, influence people in the right way. You know, putting this on me is just like, why are you putting it on me? You know, like this is not part of, what's going on in conversations with scientists, physicians, and doctors. I'm just a hooper, right? Like, I'm just a person who's being utilized as an example. For some odd reason, you know, people love to have my name in the mix of just some BS.
Okay, a lot to unpack there. Stephen mm-hmm. A., now that we've heard from Kyrie, I wish I had a clearer understanding of his position, yet it feels more murky. What's your reaction to Kyrie's message?
Well, I think it's all over the place. But I want to make sure I take the position and producers, leave Kendrick Perkins and Jay Williams up on the screen because I want to see them when I'm talking to them and I'm talking to America here. You know, Jay and I are fine for those fools out there that think we got a problem. They don't realize we brothers. They don't understand. You understand? Always. So we can have disagreement, always, but we good. Here's the thing that people are not getting, and I want to make sure that I'm clear about. I am no anti-vaxxer. I have been vaccinated. Jay's been vaccinated. I think Kendrick Perkins, I know you have. And we all believe you should get vaccinated. But I am no anti-vaxxer. Let me be very, very clear about that. I have an issue with Kyrie Irving. And by the way, as I tried to say yesterday, but I'll say today, it ain't about the vaccine. It's about what I label to be his selfishness when it comes to being a teammate of Kevin Durant, James Harden, and the rest of the crew with the Brooklyn Nets. That is the issue for me. If you don't want to take the vaccine, that's your choice. You are absolutely right. It's a personal choice, and it's other people's choice to react whatever way they want to. I choose to focus on a couple of things here. Kyrie Irving has been in this league for damn near 10 years, if I remember correctly, about 10 years now. He's played over 70 games three times. This is the same Kyrie Irving that got hurt before the global pandemic became official, essentially, And before the season was brought to a halt, when the season was scheduled to resume in a bubble, he was a vice president in a players association who had encouraged people not to participate in play in Orlando in the bubble. But he did so on his own without talking to CP3 and them and letting them know what his position was going to be publicly. They had to find out like the rest of us. He didn't play then. Then he's gone, so you take into account he got hurt and had only played 20 games. He got hurt, season gets halted. What does he do? He comes back 10 months later, 10 months after the season was resumed in December. Another season, I'm sorry, started in December. And 2 weeks in, 7 games into the season, Kyrie Irving needs a break, disappears for personal reasons, initially didn't tell the coach or anybody else, okay? Knew he was supposed to come back, got caught partying with his sister. You understand what I'm saying? And at a party, all right, where you were exposed to all of that contact tracing and stuff like that, where KD even had to be pulled from some games because accidentally or whatever, they found that he could have potentially been exposed. So you had all of these things going on. My point is transition that to where we are now. And where we are now is yet another reason why Kyrie Irving isn't playing basketball. KD is in Brooklyn because of you. James Harden, to a lesser degree, is in Brooklyn because of you. You helped bring these brothers together. And that's where I'm coming from. It is my belief. I'm not trying to say forget the vaccine because I understand that's a part of this discussion. Again, but what I'm focusing on and what I want people to know that I'm focusing on about Kyrie Irving is I believe you helped assemble all of this. And you've left these dudes hanging yet again. Now, we can sit up there and say this has nothing to do with everything else that's going on in this past. Fair enough. But the one consistent common denominator that is inescapable is A, Kyrie Irving is a distraction. B, it usually involves him missing time on the job, which he signed up to do, which he encouraged other people to do, which he's getting $35 million a year to play. These are all the things that I'm pointing to. And that's where I want to go from there before we even get into what he said last night. Floor is y'all's.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, right? We all have our rights and everybody have the freedom to do whatever they want with their body. But Stephen A., you made one word stand out to me just now. Clear. Clear. And you have certain people that go on here and say, you know what? Kyrie Irving is a version of Colin Kaepernick. No, the hell he's not. Because Colin Kaepernick made it very, very clear where he stands, okay? Or where he stood for us with the NFL. I don't know where Kyrie Irving stands. He's all over the place, as you would say. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm watching IG Live. I'm watching some of the former Brotherhood, NBA Brotherhoods, and they saying, go Kyrie. Ooh, yeah, you're doing the right thing. I stand with Kyrie. But guess what? It's another brother that's in the NBA, that's in Minnesota, that lost 6 family members, including his mama, God rest her soul, by the name of Carl Anthony Towns. And he made it very, very clear to everybody where he stood with this vaccination. And he told people, go get vaccinated. You want to know something? When I saw what Carl Anthony Towns went through, that's what made me choose a side. And my thing is with Kyrie Irving, yes, it is your body. But tell me, what are you standing for? Make it clear to me. Because watching the IG Live yesterday, it wasn't clear. And it's not clear to this day. It's still not clear today as we wake up. It's murky. As Monty just said, it's murky. So I'm not telling the man what to do. I'm saying, give us some clarification. And by the way, the media, right? The media, oh man, y'all always want to point me out. You a superstar, Kyrie. When you sign up to go to the NBA, you sign up for the media. Media comes with it. We applaud you when you stand on the front line and you do things in the community. Of course, if you don't get vaccinated, it's going to be a story and we're going to talk about it. Hello, you are in the NBA. This is part of it. So just me personally, look, Kyrie could do whatever the hell he want with his body. All I'm saying was that it wasn't clear, and it's still not clear. I don't know where he stand, and I don't know what he's trying to accomplish.
Yeah, before you jump in, Jay, he did say in that video he's not retiring and he's not giving up this game for the vaccine. So, yes, again, even more unclear on his stance and if he will be playing with the Nets or not. Jay?
Well, everybody on this show has said that it's pretty unclear from Kyrie's IG Live. I felt like it was pretty clear. He stated that he was unvaccinated. He stated that he wasn't sure about how this would affect him in his career. He stated that at the beginning of the season, he was ready to play, and then due to municipalities, things had changed. And I think one of the things that kind of elevated the conversation yesterday, Stephen A., was that everybody wants Kyrie Irving to be on their timeline. They want him to be on their timetable. Well, he's not answering things fast enough. And as much as we're talking about the past history, and look, that's a completely different conversation, Stephen A., I am with you. There are a lot of questionable decisions. You know, I'm sitting up here with a Duke Brotherhood jacket on. I've been objective on your platform and others about some of the decisions Kyrie has made, right? But I think as it relates to this particularly, I think this is an unprecedented nature, a matter. And I'm okay with Kyrie taking his time to make this decision. He never said he was anti-vax. He never said he was pro-vax. He's saying he's trying to figure it out. Once again, I think there is something important about somebody trying to take their time to figure this out. You can go and talk to me about science and all the other things. I just think it's important for Kyrie to do what Kyrie needs to do for Kyrie to make the best decision. But it does feel like he has become the face of how people want to chastise those who are unvaccinated. And that's what happens when people who feel like they are being spoken to through the prism of Kyrie Irving, that creates this snowball effect. And I think that's what happens when there's venom that's being thrown. So for Kyrie in this particular situation, once again, I state, I do think he made himself clear. He stated he was unvaxxed. And some things aren't unclear, right? Like, he isn't clear about what his status is going to be with the Brooklyn Nets, because you can't be clear, because you don't know if the municipalities will change in time. You don't know how people's, you know, what further evidence will come out about the vaccine in time. Maybe he will make his own decision and maybe he will be vaccinated.
Jay, when you refer to the timeline, we have a ticker on our screen earlier. The NBA season tips off in 5 days. We're not making up some timeline. The NBA season starts. They're the favorites to win the chip. And he's saying that, you know, I'm not retiring and I'm not giving this game up for the vaccine. Okay, then what are you doing? Are you playing or not? That's what we want to know.
Okay,
so
I mean, well,
it's not this. It's not that we're creating, the media is creating a timeline. We're talking about him for no reason. We want to know, is he going to be out there on the court for Nets game one?
Well, Molly, here's the thing. Here's the thing. The thing is that the whole IG Live from my point of view was when he went from, you know, talking about he was doing research, right, before he did his IG Live. And then he went to talking about he's been the voice for the voiceless. And then he comes on the IG Live and says, you know, he still loved the game of basketball. He's not retiring. You know what it's setting it up for? It's setting it up for when he does get vaccinated and he comes back to the Brooklyn Nets, he won't look hypocritical. That's what it's setting it up for. That's what that IG Live was for yesterday, to set it up so that when he does decide to return and get vaccinated, he won't look hypocritical.
Well, let me tell you where I think Kyrie was successful last night. And when he didn't say anything before last night, looked successful. He's painted himself as a victim because he is willing to stand up for his individual rights. Obviously, he didn't know. One thing he said that was very important that I actually side with him with. He came in, he worked out, he was ready to play, he was in shape, he was ready to go for the season, and then the mandate came down from New York City. I think right now it's in New York, L.A., San Francisco. I think there's another city. I think maybe New Orleans or somebody, but I'm not sure. But the point is that's it. And there is a legitimate question as to why all these other cities haven't adopted the same mandate and stuff, but that's a subject for another day. When he said that the mandate came down, he didn't know that he wouldn't be able to play. They were initially told that they would be able to play even if they were not vaccinated. They would just have to go through extensive testing. He was fine with that. Here's where it ultimately becomes a problem. Number one, when you were talking to some kids in the off season, you weren't wearing a mask. When you were partying with your sister during the NBA season, when the NBA had strongly discouraged all of that excessive contact because we were still going through the pandemic and things were so, you know, so up in the air and stuff like that, you didn't listen to that. And then we have to take into account, again, the history that I brought up. It's one thing after another after another. And the biggest thing for me is when you're gone for 10 months and 2 weeks in, you suddenly need a personal day after being off for 10 months. I don't know how much more glaring that can be. So he's got, listen, I've spoken to family members. I have spoken to, you know, cats that are really, really close to him in the NBA, including coaches. I mean, Kyrie's got a lot of love, and it's well-deserved because he's actually not a bad guy at all. But here's the problem, Jay, and I'm coming directly to you with this. Mm-hmm. There is an air about Kyrie that intellectually, in his mind, he's here. And those who disagree with him are here. And when he talks, he sees himself as being totally right. And in the end, it comes down to being just about him. And my response to that is, nah, bro, not when you've assembled what you assembled in Brooklyn. Forget the vaccine for a second. You assembled this. You and I both know, Jay, KP, myself, we know a bunch of brothers in the NBA, Molly, that wanted no parts of the vaccine. They did not want to take it.
I didn't want to take the vaccine, but I felt I had to.
I told you, you're right. But what I'm saying is, there's a whole bunch of people that didn't want to take it, but they took it because they understood what the responsibility was, and they knew they weren't going to be able to play it was going to be very inconvenient for them if they didn't play. What? And I'm saying, if you brought the team together, Stephen, that's my issue. He brought them together, and he ain't there. That's it.
I don't believe that we can just talk about basketball. Once again, a lot of this comes back to basketball. And I get it. There was a championship on the line. Did Kyrie have a pivotal part in assembling a crew? 1,000,000%. But this is not about basketball. This is a life decision for Kyrie. And I think that is part of the problem. We keep compartmentalizing what you do and your life decisions. Well, the two are merged together right now. Molly, you just said you felt like you had to take it.
Yeah.
Kyrie doesn't feel like he has to take it. And there will be repercussions because of that decision. And maybe he will take it. And maybe he is unclear. He's allowed to be unclear, guys, about his stance on this. There's a huge decision.
Do you think he is unclear, Jay?
I'm not trying to speak for Kyrie's state of mind.
No, because you said after you saw this video, you said, I said, it's more murky, and you said it's clear. So I'm curious, do you think he's dying on this cross and not taking the vaccine? Or was that video to give him leeway to make his decision?
I'm not going to sit up here on TV and give you a strong take about what Kyrie Irving is going to do when I don't know how Kyrie Irving thinks all the time. Kyrie Irving is his own man. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to respect his process. Like, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to respect this process. And
well, KP,
I think he did come out.
In.
He did clarify that he was unvaccinated, Stephen A. He did all provide right. clarity in that. Because a lot of people are wondering, is he vaccinated or is he not vaccinated?
Again, I'm not attacking, him being unclear about the Instagram. And I want to be very, very clear for the purposes of you, Jay Williams, to put this on the line. And people are going to excoriate me for this. Let me be very, very clear. First of all, I don't give a damn how any of y'all feel about my take. I'm not talking to you two. I'm talking about the public. I don't give a damn. I say what I say, and I mean what I mean. And I mean every word that I say when I say this. I believe Kyrie Irving. Notice, Bradley Beal isn't vaccinated, from my understanding. I didn't bring him up. So, in other words, again, I might disagree with your point, but that's not what I'm attacking. To address your point directly, Jay, do I believe Kyrie owes it to his team in Brooklyn to be there, even if it meant getting vaccinated? You damn right
that.
I do.
Because hell no, Stephen A.
I'm just saying we disagree, for the clarity of the audience. I'm saying to you, to address your point, I am of the opinion, so we're very clear, he assembled them. And because of that, I believe he owes it to them to be there.
I've said it to his family. I've said it to his friends. I've said it to coaches. I've said it to everybody. And I'm telling you, he, of all people, should be there. That's where I'm coming from.
So you're saying that because he assembled a team, it's like a scouting report, Stephen A., in basketball. You know, a lot of times we get prepared for games. There's a scouting report. Kendrick Perkins can do X with the ball. He can do Y with the ball. Then all of a sudden I get into the first quarter and Kendrick Perkins is doing Y with the ball. He's doing B with the ball. I'm like, hold on, that's not in the scouting report. I have to adjust my scouting report mid-game. So now you're telling me that because situations or circumstances have changed about what originally took place to where we are now, that you believe Kyrie Irving should say, you know what, just because I'm unclear about a decision I have to make about what's inserted into my body when I should be granted time to make that decision, that screw that. I need to be on the court because I'm going to let my teammates down? What you're trying to tell me, Stephen A.?
No, yes.
You're trying to tell me this is about basketball? This is about winning a championship?
Not about making the right decision for myself and my family?
The right decision?
How much time do you need? I know what my right decision is for me and my family, Stephen A.
All right,
you know,
okay.
I know what, and I would talk to Kyrie about how I felt, about how I came to a conclusion on that decision for my family.
Which one's it going to be? You asking questions and then answering me. You going to ask me a question, but you ain't going to let me answer? I'm trying to answer you.
Go ahead. Okay,
yes! Yes! That meant yes! Because, listen, if 6.2 billion people have taken it, okay, I'm sorry, has the vaccine killed somebody that I didn't? I mean, has that been the reason people died?
Well, if we go down that road, I mean, Moderna's just stopped in Sweden and different things.
All right, let's be careful. Let's not get into the medical science, guys.
We've done different research in a couple of years. I'm not saying I haven't taken once again.
Kendrick, go ahead. Here's my thing.
I'm going to repeat. What Kyrie Irving does with his body, that's his personal decision. But when you jump out there and say that you're being the voice for the voiceless, now you're taking on a whole different type of ownership.
That's fair.
So now you're saying that you're making a stance for society and for others. And what I'm saying is it is still unclear what stance Kyrie
Irving
is
Kendrick. Exactly.
That's my point. If he come out and say, I told you, my stance is I'm standing not for the people that's going to put the 100 emoji under my damn Instagram. I'm standing for the 80-year-old people that's in the house that can't get in hospitals because it's unvaccinated people that's hogging up the ICU rooms because they didn't want to get the COVID test. I'm standing for those people. I'm making it very, very clear to you. I'm standing for the old people. How about
all
that?
I'm saying, so once again, you guys want him on that timeline, you give me the NBA's
keeping it 100 or keeping it 1,000. I'm keeping it 100.
Jay, the timeline is five days when the NBA season tips off. That's the timeline for the NBA.
That does not need to be the timeline for Kyrie Irving. That does not need to be the timeline for Kyrie Irving.
Okay. Fair enough. Great discussion, guys. We're going to have much more on the Kyrie situation a little later in the show.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod. Welcome back. In wake of John Gruden's resignation over offensive emails, Raiders quarterback Derek Carr says, open up everything in NFL teams' correspondence. Here's Carr on his former coach of 3+ years.
We just started opening up everybody's private emails and texts. You know, people would start sweating a little bit. You see what I'm saying? Hopefully not too many, you know. But maybe that's what they should do for all coaches and GMs and owners from now on is open up. You got to open up everything, you know, see what happens. I love the man, right? I hate, you hate the sin, you know, like for me, you hate for anybody. No one's perfect.
Raiders owner Mark Davis also broke his silence Wednesday morning, saying, I have no comment. Ask the NFL. They have all the answers. Davis telling that to ESPN. Dan Orlovsky now here with us. Good morning, Dan. Good to have you here. And I'll start with you. How do you think the Raiders are handling this?
Mark Davis-wise, passively aggressive in an embarrassment. Silence says a lot more than you think. You don't get to run from this. There's 32 of you. There's 31 of you. The Packers don't have an owner. This is the opportunity to make it very clear the things that you stand for and the things that you don't stand for. You should be speaking about what just happened to your organization. This is the first time ever that a situation like this has unfolded, or at least in my time that I can remember in the NFL, that a situation like this in regards to your head coach has happened. You don't get to be passively aggressive about this. You don't get to not talk about this and answer the difficult questions. There's one of 31 in the world like this. And as the leader of that organization and the person who owns that organization, he should be standing there like a grown man and answering those questions and not passing that off. Now, that being said, Mike Mayock did an incredible job. Their general manager, I thought, did a great job yesterday of standing there and handling things that, like a man, handling things the right way, being very communicative, being a leader, answering the difficult questions, talking about players like Carl Nassib and where they were and what they potentially would be going for or going through. And I think that shows great leadership. And I think that shows the type of guy that Mike Mayock is. And so he's handled it well. And the last thing I'd say, Molly, is this. For the guys in that locker room, this is the moment to be a brother. You know, this is the moment. You can't say all the cliche sayings about sports and football of, oh, that's my brother, and no matter what, we'll do things together, and yeah. It takes all of us when things are easy or when things I don't want are good, and then when this situation presents itself, not go be there for your brother. And I think for a guy like Carl Nassib, who is very much so, I would imagine, alone in this situation or feeling alone in this situation, every one of those teammates should go and make sure that they're there for him. And so if your owner's not going to take leadership of the situation, Mike Mayock has, and I'm hoping that the players will as well.
Appreciate your take, Dan. And let's remember that Carl Nassib took a personal day. He wasn't there yesterday because he needed a personal day to digest, because he knows he's going to get inundated with questions about John Gruden's emails, yeah. And basically how he was lamenting, saying that the commissioner, Roger Goodell, shouldn't be encouraging then Rams coach Jeff Fisher to hire queers, the draft queers. That's what he said. And he said, obviously, it was very, very derogatory. So we have to take that into consideration. And there's a lot for Carl Nassib to address. And I can appreciate the fact that he took a personal day. Having said all of that, Dan Orlovsky, and again, put Dan up so I can see him while I'm talking to him, please. Here's the deal, Dan. Here's what I think, and I appreciate your take about Mark Davis, because here's what his silence said. It wasn't exactly silence. He said the NFL, and what was that quote again, y'all? It's to ask the NFL.
I have no comment. The NFL. They have all the answers.
All the answers. Yeah. Very glib, very sarcastic, relatively dismissive. Yeah. That's what he's doing. You know what that said to me? They made me get rid of John Gruden, y'all. I didn't want to do it. He basically told on himself.
Right.
Mark Davis basically told himself. He basically said, after seeing those emails, okay, and recognizing the things that he had said over a 7-year period,
right,
I still would have kept them if they would have let me. That's basically what Mark Davis is confessing to.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to, y'all. That's what it comes down to. And when you take that into consideration, where do we go with that? Here's where we go with that. That culture that we were talking about, that culture that we religiously lament, where there's no minority ownership other than Kim Pegula in Buffalo and Shad Khan, who's from Pakistan, owning the Jacksonville Jaguars, you have no representation. You certainly don't have any black representation. I can tell you that much in an ownership position. There's plenty of people with money that would love to own an NFL team that happen to be black, okay? And you haven't invited them into that good old boys club. People forget that. When it comes to ownership in the NBA, in the NFL, Major League Baseball, et cetera, it doesn't matter how much money you have. They have to invite you in. They have to let you in. And it takes me back to years ago when Commissioner Stern, God rest his soul, was the commissioner of the NBA, and you had Larry Bird, Dan Orlovsky. He had a group of guys, like 14 or 15 guys, Dan and Molly, and he wanted to buy the Charlotte franchise.
Yeah.
And Larry Bird came in there with the group. And you know what? We've got this going on, and he's Larry Bird and what have you. And they had to come up with the money. And they were being interviewed by the Board of Governors and what have you. And, you know, Jerry Colangelo obviously had a connection with Bob Johnson, the former head of BET.
Right.
Bob Johnson rose up into that meeting because they give him an opportunity to be in that door. He said, gentlemen, I appreciate everything that everybody says, and we know the great Larry Bird and what he means to the NBA. But last time I checked, this was a financial transaction. And here is my portfolio.
Yeah.
He said, who y'all want me to cut the check to? And they sold it for $300 million, which that group could have come up to. The NBA was progressive and forward-thinking, but more so they were also about, what are your qualifications? And do you merit owning, do you warrant owning this franchise? The NFL has to let you in. And when you see a Mark Davis sounding like that, and you think about some of the other things we've heard coming out of the mouths of owners with the whole Colin Kaepernick situation and everything else in between, then you see what we've been saying about the National Football League, which is why I go to Derek Carr. And I say, Derek Carr, no. You don't have the right to mess with people's private emails. But this case was different. They weren't in John Gruden's private emails. They were investigating the Washington football franchise.
Yeah. Sure.
And while looking into the franchise, Bruce Allen, the former president there, just so happened to be emailing John Gruden through the company account.
Yeah.
And that's how they discovered John Gruden's private emails, because for him it was private. His account was private.
Yeah.
But Bruce Allen's was not.
Yeah.
And when you have that kind of investigation, where I agree with Derek Carr is when he says all of those emails should be shown.
Absolutely.
In terms of the Washington football team's investigation. But that doesn't mean the NFL should have a right to look at every GM and every president and look at their private emails and investigate.
I think he was,
no
I was just thinking he was saying that everybody might have dirt. And he also did say, I love the man, but I hate the sin. So let's make that clear.
Yeah, but I was just saying in terms of him opening the emails, he's
We didn't just go in and target him. It was part of the investigation.
He's right about the Washington football investigation into the Washington football team. He's not right if he was trying to say, well, if you're a GM or a president, you should be able to look into your emails. No.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
We're going to have much more on this later. We're also going to hear from Demoris Smith. He sat down with Bomani Jones, so looking forward to sharing that sound.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Oh, this is a special, special day. In front of me right now is the man, the right-hand man of the one and only LeBron James, obviously a CEO involved with the Spring Hill Company, the one and only Maverick Carter. How are you, my man? How's everything going?
Stephen A., I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on your show. I watch it every morning. I enjoy it. You make me laugh and think and all of the above.
You know, listen, man, you describe, when you think about Spring Hill, it's described as an empowerment-led global consumer and entertainment company. That's what we know it to be, and obviously you've been very successful thus far. Tell our audience why that description is appropriate, especially today.
That description is appropriate today, especially, Stephen A., because what we strive to do is empower greatness in every individual. That's our mission, and that mission comes from the heart. That's, I lived it, right? LeBron, as your audience know very well, is a great basketball player, but he gave me an opportunity a long time ago, almost 20 years ago. Now I'm getting pretty old, but he gave me and allowed me to use his platform and empowered me. So that is an emotional connection that I have and he has that we wanted other people to feel. So our tagline of more than and uninterrupted, our sports brand, the tagline is more than an athlete. We live by that. We are that. So that feeling of empowerment, we try and instill in every individual that comes in contact with everything that the Spring Hill Company does.
Talk about the partnership that you've just created. I mean, this is a company that's now valued at $750 million. I mean, speak to that right now, because that's why you're sitting in front of me as we speak.
Absolutely. So today we're announcing that we've brought on four new investors and a fantastic group, Redbird Capital, Fenway Sports Group, Nike, and Epic Games, the maker of Fortnite. Four companies in different sectors, but really believe in and understand the mission of the Spring Hill Company. They believe in it so much. In fact, they're investing, all joining the board. And the number will get the headline, and that's what people will print, but it's more than a number, right? The 141 people who work at our company, those are the first people who have to feel empowered. And that, when we create that feeling of empowerment will emanate out into everything that we do. And that's what's most important to me, is the people I get to work with and I'm fortunate to work with. And then as a company, the creators, the athletes, the talent, the directors, the writers that we're fortunate enough to work with, we could never be enough thankful to them.
Speak about Spring Hill Entertainment in this respect. First of all, you guys have been doing great work. By the way, I encourage everybody to watch The Shop when y'all show up on HBO doing The Shop, because that's a big-time show as far as I'm concerned. And LeBron shows up, you show up. Y'all do an outstanding job with that, along with the rest of the crew that you have together. But when you came together, I mean, listen, I know both of y'all a little bit. Obviously, you very, very well. And even though y'all thoughts are aligned for the most part, speak about the combination of you and LeBron and how that's been able to propel Spring Hill to another level.
That's a great question, Stephen. And he's the chairman of the company. I'm the CEO. So him and the rest of the board members I report to. But he and I are the founders of the company. And we have a very different, we approach things a lot the same, but then we sometimes have different perspectives. He's talent, right? He's an actor, he's a basketball player, and a businessman. I'm the CEO of the company, so I have to make decisions day in, day out with the team on the everyday runnings of the business, where he's thinking big picture, big vision. How do we transform the company? How do we get to big ideas, big things? Because he's not in the actual day-to-day business of it. It allows him to think broadly, and he's out in the world, right, traveling the world, playing basketball, seeing what's happening. So he comes to the table as the chairman of the board with big vision, big ideas, like where we are today. This is all out of his brain and his ideas of the vision that he had for this company and what it meant. And he attacks things from an emotional standpoint. Sure, he likes to make money, he plays basketball, he gets paid, but that is probably three or four on his list when he's thinking about business, when he's thinking about the Spring Hill Company. It's empowerment, it's changing people's lives, it's creating content, products, brands that really, truly do empower people through the content we make, but also the people that we get to work with and hire.
You know, I love the fact that you brought up him being emotional, because I think about you, and to me, you're not that guy. You know what? But in the same breath, you're just as passionate, not necessarily as emotional, but just as passionate. So when we talk about him being the chairman, and obviously he's a guy in that position, and he comes at it from an emotional perspective, I imagine he plays a creative role as well. But when it comes to you, what role in terms of, I know you run things, but in terms of communicating with him on a daily basis from a creative perspective, do you find yourself being more of a visionary in this project, or y'all are aligned in that regard in terms of your creative juices?
That's a great question. Our company, creativity is at the center of everything we do, Stephen A. Our creative team, our chief creative officer, Ricardo Vermontes, is fantastic. Our CMO, Paul Rivera. Everybody knows our company is led on creativity, and empowerment is the thread that we pull through everything. But to your point, myself, I try and not get too emotional, too high or too low, because I have to try and make decisions that are good for the company and good for the people that work in the company and great for our partners. And LeBron is a visionary. He's a creative guy himself. He likes to see and understand, especially if he's going to be in the content, what is it about, what it's for, what we're trying to achieve, and then what message we're trying to get across. And he gets deep into the creative and the thought process of what it'll look like, especially if he's involved. And for me, I let the creatives do their job, because I am not a creative. People always say, you know, you're a producer, but I'm not a creative. I'm not a writer, a director, or an athlete. So I let the creatives do their job. And my job is to give the creators the platform and get all of the things out of the way that will hinder them making great decisions and putting forth great creativity.
Mav, I got to ask you this question, man. I'm trying to figure out what the hell else is there for you guys to accomplish. I mean, you just did Space Jam 2. I mean, I saw LeBron acting in Trainwreck. I actually thought he did a hell of a job in that movie Trainwreck. I thought that was a hilarious movie. I'm looking at the partners that you've just assembled, and clearly there's always, always more to do. But what's the vision moving forward in light of what you've already accomplished?
That's a great question, Stephen. And, you know, as you know, because you live this way, right? You're an inspiration to me and what we do. What happened yesterday, nobody gives a damn. Nobody cares. You move on. You keep moving forward. That's how life works. In the sports business, somebody's going to win the Super Bowl and the NBA championship and the World Series this year. And the day after somebody wins the NBA championship, you're going to be on this show talking about who can win next year. So that's how I approach everything in life. And I grew up an athlete playing sports. And as my football coach used to tell me, we'd have a good game on Friday night. Everybody be in the paper. You scored a touchdown this. You'd be up reading the paper on Saturday morning. You say, listen, that and a dollar will get you a cup of coffee. It's on to the next one. So, and I watch your show. I know you. Who won the championship last year? The Bucks were fantastic.
Who's gonna win it next year?
They did a great job, but we're not talking about that no more. Who can win it this year is what matters.
Let me transition to the subject before I let you get on out of here. Obviously, Kyrie Irving is making news because of his position. This is a guy that you're very, very familiar with, because he was a teammate of LeBron James, particularly when they won the championship against the Golden State Warriors. Once upon a time, LeBron James didn't speak out too much about what his position was on being vaccinated or whatever, but we've learned that he is, along with his family and what have you, and he's obviously on the court with the Los Angeles Lakers. There's a mandate in New York, a mandate in Los Angeles, a mandate in San Francisco, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm asking you this question as a basketball fan, because you're a former high school teammate of LeBron James. You are a baller yourself. I know you personally and know how much you know about the game of basketball. How do you feel about all of this Kyrie stuff, and how do you feel about the effect that it could potentially have on this upcoming NBA season?
Yeah, I'm extremely familiar with Kyrie. I don't know him. I've had one or two conversations with him in my life, but Stephen A., me, our company, Spring Hill, LeBron, we've always been about trying to be a part of the solution. We, at Spring Hill, we did a podcast with Jemele Hill, who used to work on this network, and it was about educating people and understanding that Black people have a hesitancy to vaccines, and that stems from the racism that's been throughout healthcare and throughout many industries and verticals in this country, but we want to be a part of the solution. I think LeBron said it best, and the way he thought about it and approached it, he was hesitant. He went out, him and his wife, they got educated, they understood it, and they made the decision that was best and they thought was best for them after they got educated. And that's what I think is the way to approach this thing. And I want to be a part of the solution and help people. We all love NBA basketball, football, sports. We love living, being around family. I think black people and all people should be educated and get to a solution on this thing.
Man, continue to be the inspiration that you are. Continue to lead Spring Hill into a new stratosphere. Proud of you, proud of LeBron James, proud of all the lives that you've affected in such a positive fashion. My man, Maverick Carter, I really appreciate the time, my man. You take care of yourself, and good luck moving forward.
Thank you for having me, Stephen A., and thank you for doing this show every day. You're an inspiration to me.
Thanks a lot, my man. Molly.
Appreciate it. Great interview. Maverick Carter doing big things, paying it forward. Major props to him and his whole team.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.